When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally, here with Matt Williams, and we are live from the Indianapolis. What am I doing here? From the Arizona Biltmore at the owners' meetings here in Phoenix, and we're pleased to be joined now by Jeff Srebeck of The Athletic. He covers the Baltimore Ravens for that outlet, and you've had some busy stuff going on here, Jeff. It's been a interesting
sort of
couple
way,
months here.
Yeah, I did not think this offseason I'd be writing about Meek Mill and somebody by the name of Ron Francis or Rob Francis. Yeah, it's been an interesting offseason, that's for sure. And the thing is, I don't think anything's gotten settled so far, so we got a ways to go here.
Yeah, it's fascinating, you know, watching this from – 20,000 feet. We were talking off the air. Obviously, in Pittsburgh, we went through this whole franchise tag situation with Le'Veon Bell. But this is a franchise quarterback about here. This is different than a running back.
Yeah, this is the guy they designed their whole offense around, the face of their franchise. You know, the face of sports in Baltimore. Look, both sides are kind of in a situation that they don't want to be in, right? Now, Ravens don't have another contingency plan for Lamar Jackson on the roster, and having him on the tag and needing to keep some money in case someone makes a run at him with an offer sheet. They really haven't done anything in free agency this offseason. They've re-signed a couple guys on cheap deals, but they really haven't done anything, so they're sort of handcuffed in what they could do until there's some resolution here. So this stretching isn't doing them any favors. And then obviously with Jackson, the situation he's in, there's a lot of talk about how he's played this, that, and the other thing, but I can't imagine this is what he had in mind. He's going to have to make a decision soon on whether he's willing to play on the tag, whether he's willing to sit out, how long, all that stuff, unless there's another suitor here that comes through with an offer sheet or a trade offer. And, being in Phoenix this week, I haven't heard of a team that seems like they're primed to make a run. Being in Indianapolis, the combine, I couldn't find that team either. So kind of here we are with a situation that doesn't seem like it's going to be ending anytime soon.
So, Jeff, I want to get back to Lamar specifically, but there's three teams that really stand out to me: the Colts, the Packers, and the Ravens, that have brought in next to nothing. And, Baltimore had to trade Chuck Clark. They're cutting Calais Campbell. Is it all just because they have to have that chunk for Lamar?
That's part of it. Mm-hmm. That's definitely part of it. And also what they've done in free agent, or what they've done with, they got a couple guys like Gus Edwards, and Michael Pierce to agree to kind of pay cuts. They did something with Kevin Zeitler. And with all their moves, they're adding void years onto these deals, and they've never used void years ever. And they've been against them, and that they're doing that is just pretty, obvious that, we need to keep as much money open as possible and keep as much cap flexibility in case somebody comes through with a big front-loaded offer sheet on Lamar Jackson, and we need to have the ability to match it. So that's definitely motivated them some in what they do. Now, I think also they struck out in other things. Mm-hmm. I think they wanted to add a veteran quarterback like a Jacoby Brissett, a guy like that.
Boy, it'd be so much more comfortable right now if
you're
Brissett.
Right. A guy like that who could kind of take things and run if Lamar Jackson's holding out, and they struck out on that front. They also want to add a veteran receiver, and it seems like, the free agent market wasn't very strong there, so the trade route was always the best option, and they've been unable to pull off a deal there too. So I think it's a combination definitely of Lamar and needing to keep some cap flexibility, but also just not being able to kind of get a couple deals done that they really wanted to get done.
Yeah, they also don't have the draft capital that they typically have.
True, right, yeah. Right. They don't have a comp pick, which is, you know,
crazy. They always have comp picks, right.
And they traded their second rounder for Roquan Smith, so they only have 5 draft picks. And, you know, 22nd overall in the first round, and, you know, that adds to it. I mean, you know, if somebody comes through with an offer on Lamar Jackson, you know, you say, okay, well, maybe we let him walk. You're not getting a day one starting quarterback with 22nd.
No, you're not. Yeah.
No.
We know how Kenny Pickett thing in Pittsburgh, but, I mean, this is kind of considered a little different this year with the class. So, yeah, they're – you know, we knew all along it was going to be tough for them to fill sort of their holes with the limited assets they had. And assets, I mean, cap space and draft picks. But I think it's even probably been even a little rougher going than most people expected around the team.
If Lamar were to come off the books today, next week, a month, would they be a player for DeAndre Hopkins or some veteran, you know, Jerry Jeudy, Sutton, somebody like that?
I think so.
Use the cap space.
Yeah, and I think those are all, you know, all options they've sort of are still considering. Mm-hmm. The reality is, you know, with a lot of those guys, they want draft picks, and they only have 5, no second rounder. I mean, maybe you can kind of entice a team with 2024 draft picks, but that's not going to be as enticing as a team offering current ones. And they will have cap flexibility to do some stuff, but, you know, there's so much criticism in Baltimore, and there's been for years about their lack of being able to, you know, draft and develop wide receivers, and, you know, obviously, which Pittsburgh has done so well, and also find like veteran wide receivers in the prime. You know, their model has been signing these older guys, and it has worked in some fronts.
They've always had this,
the Boldens of the world, Steve Smith,
Mason,
Derek Mason,
right.
But they need to get that guy. But which veteran receivers, you know, like to add like a DeAndre Hopkins, are probably going to adjust his contract. Is he going to want to come to a place that has no quarterback?
That's the other part.
It's
of
not
the
an attractive landing spot.
right.
Yeah, like,
how many balls
are
you gonna
catch?
I said
before, I think Eric DaCosta, the general manager, has one of the more challenging jobs in the league this year. It's still a good roster in a lot of areas, but they had some, you know, definite holes that they had to fill and limited ways to fill them. And then when you add over top of that the whole uncertainty with the quarterback, that was going to make it difficult.
The other interesting part of this whole thing is that you've changed offensive coordinators as well.
And
so if Lamar – let's say Lamar is going to play on the franchise tag, but until he signs that thing, he's not a Raven.
No, I know.
And so does he just sit out the entire offseason, and now you've got you're looking at the – you know, Todd Monken is looking at this going, what am I going to do here? I haven't had my quarterback all season.
He could be as ambitious as you want, but what's he working on right this second?
Yeah, he doesn't even know. Am I designing an offense for Lamar or somebody else?
So along those lines, Jeff, I could piggyback off that question. I kind of have this theory that Harbaugh looks at this style of offense and says, maybe it's run its course. You know, that we might have to start throwing to receivers, and no matter who our quarterback is. And I feel like you can't just run this exact offense with a 290-pound fullback snap after snap and not have any receivers. I wonder if Harbaugh says, this was a good experiment. We won a lot of games. We have to tweak our scheme no matter what.
Yeah, I think you're no doubt you're correct. And I think that sort of conclusion was reached when they, you know, it was listed as a parting of ways with Greg Roman. Well, Greg Roman wasn't coming back, whether, you know. So I think they sort of reached that. Greg Roman did a lot of good things, but the offense had sort of hit a wall, you know, and other teams had adjusted, and that style was just not going to get them where they needed to go. So, you know, Harbaugh talked a little bit about it yesterday. I think they plan to be a little more of an up-tempo offense. They, you know, add some more no huddle. They're going to obviously throw the ball more. You know, that's all stuff they want to do right now going forward, and they'd like to do. But it is. That's the other thing that you mentioned, Dale. It's just like, I mean, Todd Monken, like, how do you install even an offense?
What's he doing right now? Right.
Yeah, I mean, like John Harbaugh said yesterday, you know, we've been in the lab, but it's tough to kind of envision what's it going to look like when you don't know who's going to be under center. So, and even if, like, you're confident that Lamar Jackson's going to be your guy this year, it's not like you can just say, oh, Lamar knows us. He knows the system. He can come in late August and be under center for week one. Like, what's that going to look like if he doesn't know the offense? And it's
– Yeah, this isn't a left guard sitting out. This is
right.
This is the quarterback who was what, 90% of your offense the last 3 or 4 years.
Yes. Changing the offense and changing the quarterback, and you haven't done – you don't know what part two is yet. You know, so how do you do part one?
Yeah, that's why I've kind of – you know, this – how this has worked out is almost like when you talk about the franchise tag that they use, the non-exclusive tag, I thought that was probably the best way to try to spur a closer
–
a quicker, excuse me, resolution. And that's what they really needed here, some sort of – if another team – made the offer, you get 5 days to decide, you either move on or you sign him and he's there. And
at least there's closure,
There's closure, you know. You can move on, build the rest – you have more time to build your rest of your roster. But in this way, with nobody kind of offering, there have been no real bites.
All your targets are drying up.
It's definitely. And you know, as you said, the new offense, the new offensive coordinator definitely add to that.
So let's looking at all this stuff that's happening here, what are the Ravens in 2023? Are they a rebuilding team? Or are they a team that is in it to win it this year? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you think they have a better chance of coming in first or fourth in the division?
Oh, fourth,
I would think so, too.
Yeah,
I mean, think their roster has to be worse than it was last year.
You know, I whether rebuilding, like – if they all of a sudden get an offer sheet after the draft for Lamar from, like, the Colts, because Colts aren't giving up the fourth overall pick and signing him 2 weeks before the draft, you know, and they let him go, I mean, they're gonna have the looks of a rebuilding team in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
When you look at the receiving group and what they're going to have to do at quarterback.
That's like the worst-case scenario for Baltimore.
Yeah, absolutely.
You go through the draft, and then the day after the draft, somebody signs him, and you get two picks in the next two drafts. You get those first-round picks, but you don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, and at that
and
point,
then that team's probably a playoff team with Lamar.
Yeah,
they're not early
picks,
right?
They're not getting an early pick. And at that point, I think you have to question, okay, maybe it's best. We have some assets here. Maybe we move them. We're going to play hard. We're, you know, you just know the Ravens are going to have a pretty good defense this year. They're still – they need another corner. Marcus Peters is a free agent still. And, you know, it's
corner's
like,
a need, huh?
Yeah, cornerback's a need. But – their other spots, they're pretty good. I mean, they're in pretty good shape. They don't need a ton on that side of the ball. They're going to have a pretty good defense. I don't know if it's going to be – I'm not forecasting a dominant one, but I think they'll be pretty good there. I think they're a different defensive team we saw when Roquan Smith came aboard, and that'll help them having him around for an offseason. They'll be even stronger there. They're always going to play good special teams. They're going to be well coached. I think they're going to be in most games. They have good home field advantage. So I'm not ready to say they'd be in a rebuilding situation. Mm-hmm. I think they'll be competitive. I think they'll be a tough out, but you can't project them to, I mean, do anything.
Yeah,
like, or, you know,
right.
Like I know where you guys, team you guys cover, and the goal there is not to get to the playoffs and just squeak in, and that would seem to be the Ravens' upside unless they can get this figured out and start adding some pieces. But, you know, it's getting late early. It really is.
So I'm sure some of our Steeler fans are kind of loving the sounds of this, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
And the Steelers weren't far off this a year ago, too. I mean, who was their quarterback? Ben's retiring.
Anytime you're transitioning a quarterback,
you know, all
it's
that.
Tough.
But they're a really strong organization. They remind me so much of the Steelers that let's say they win six games this year and they get two future firsts for Lamar and their pick's actually early. This time next year, we might be like, I don't recognize this Ravens team. They got talent everywhere, and it's young. You know, like, it might not take long to get back.
Yeah, and they had a big draft class last year. Mm-hmm. And we saw some of those guys in a little bit, you know. You know, they have some – it's a good mix of the roster in a lot of positions, just in some key ones where they're weak. They're going to figure this out. Mm-hmm. If they're down, they're not going to be down for long.
It's not going to be a decade.
And look – I don't see Lamar's options right now. Like, maybe I'm being naive, but it's hard to imagine him not back just because I don't see another team making him an offer.
You would bet on him being a Raven more than not.
I would, because, and that's not because anything beyond like just being around here. I don't see the team. Mm-hmm. I don't see a team that's going to be willing to give up multiple picks and also pay him. It seems to be.
It blows me away.
And
I don't know how Atlanta and Washington and some of these other teams just don't say, give me a great quarterback.
Yeah. So, and there's going to be challenges, no doubt. We talked about with Monken, but he's a difference maker.
Mm-hmm.
He elevates the team. So, you know, if he's there and even if it's not immediately in the season from week one, I think they'll be fine. But there's no doubt it's kind of has a transition feel to them for a while, and we haven't, you know, they've been kind of a picture of stability, even their GM, you know, transition from Newsom to Costa, and the quarterback transition from Flacco to Lamar, all that was so natural and you know, easy, really. So they haven't really had to be in that kind of world where they're making these seismic changes in those spots. So it's an interesting space they're occupying right now. So you know, I know the Steelers got a lot of talent and feeling good about Pickett. I know the Bengals aren't going anywhere. Browns are hopeful about Watson.
Who started this whole thing?
Yeah.
When they gave Watson the deal that they gave him. Yeah. What's the fan reaction been like to this whole situation?
There's been a really, you know, you never want to kind of evaluate, like, fans' opinion based on, like, the Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, they're always the vocal
minority,
right? and it would be a mistake to just say, oh, you know, all these fans are saying, get him out of here on Twitter. But, yeah, it certainly seems being around Baltimore and talking to different people, hearing from people, I think fans are tired of it. I think the the tide has changed.
Yeah.
In the beginning, it was pay him whatever he wants. He's the face of our franchise. Now I think just get something done, even if it means trading him. I mean, they're tired of it. I think he's had some missteps here in how he's handled it, which haven't been, you know, very professional on his part. And I think some fans are ready to be done with it and just move on, even if that means kind of ushering in a new era with a new quarterback, even if that means maybe taking some lumps this year for what's going to amount to a better future, because I don't think fans want to deal with another offseason like this one. And if he plays the year on the tag, that's probably what we're going
to get back around
next
year. Yeah, it's crazy.
You briefly mentioned the Bengals. I mean, the Ravens and Steelers have been at odds like as long as I can remember. Can they kind of look at if Joe Burrow and say he's the new most feared man in the division?
I think you kind of have to, you know. And it just, like, if you look at, and I forgot the exact numbers in my head, guys, but if you look, like, Lamar's barely played against the Steelers.
Yeah. It's amazing.
I mean,
amazing.
He's barely played against the Bengals. And he hasn't played a December game in 2 years. And that's when the important division games are played. So, you know, you get when he's not out there and he's, you know, it's easy to kind of, I don't want to say push him aside. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Joe Burrow's the guy right now. He's kind of the guy the teams in division are going to have to get past. And we'll see about the challenges they're going to have as he gets more expensive. And, you know, we'll see about that. But, yeah, I would have to think he's kind of the guy in the division now, and they're going to have to be the team to beat. I would probably say that's probably going to be undisputed going forward.
Yeah,
this offseason.
Until further notice.
Yeah.
Our guest has been Jeff Cerebick of The Athletic, covers the Ravens for that fine organization. And we appreciate you stopping by, Jeff. We'll be seeing you down the road at the games. You're going to be fascinated to read your stuff here and see what happens with this whole Lamar Jackson
situation.
He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. This is The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back with more live from the NFL meetings right after this. Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson, and we are The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We are live from the Arizona Biltmore here in Phoenix, and good stuff there by Jeff Cerebick on this whole Lamar situation.
Very upfront, honest, you know, that this is touchy. You know, I mean, the fact that he said, I think there's a better chance they end up fourth than first is dead on. You know, I don't think that's being a homer. You know, I mean, I just think it's, how can their roster be better this year than it was last?
Yeah, they're not
with
signing
or without
anybody.
Lamar.
Yeah, they're not signing anybody because of this whole situation.
Right, and the layer of the onion that I hadn't unpeeled before that was, okay, you free up $40 million in cap space and you want to go trade for DeAndre. Well, you don't have the picks. You know, you're really light on picks right now.
I mean, they're usually a team that really has a lot of comp picks, and they don't have them this year.
And the Roquan trade, too, so they don't have the two.
So, interesting. Looking here on the NFL.com, our friend Lance Zierlein, who's their NFL media draft analyst, breaks down this year's draft by position.
Okay.
Ranking the strength of this draft. And this ties in with something you and I wanted to talk about here in terms of draft picks for the Steelers at 17.
Yeah, yeah.
How this thing's going to stack up. So he has – do you want to go from the bottom or the top here?
Yeah, let's start with the strengths. Okay. Usually go.
A cornerback is obviously number one here.
I think tight end's number one.
I think cornerback's much deeper.
I'm just saying, but in fact, that compared to most tight end classes, relatively speaking, there's only one of them on the field as opposed to three. There's one or two as opposed to three. I think this tight end class is remarkably good. Corner would be second for me. I mean, don't get me wrong.
I can't disagree with him. The cornerback's number one because I think you can get – you're going to see 10 corners drafted on average.
Probably in the top 50.
In the top 50. You're going to see 15 to 20 cornerbacks in the top 100.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see in the top 150 – there'll be 25 corners drafted that they're going to be, you know, teams are going to get these guys and they're going to be like, we couldn't believe we got them where we got them.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a fantastic class. I'll just fight you that I don't know who the star is. You know, there's not a Ramsey. There's not a, you know, there's good ones, but I don't think there's a star in the class. And most years there's 8 to 10 in the top 50. Where
I just think
that, this year there might be 5 tight ends in the top 50.
I just think when you weight the positions into what they're worth.
See, I'm weighing them against previous years in the usual class.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
All right.
Yeah.
Well, tight ends.
I mean, we're splitting.
Tight ends number two.
Okay.
It's
not 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, it is what it is. Number 3 for him is edge defender.
Hmm. I think that's safe. I mean, Will Anderson's a top 5 pick. You're going to have 2 or 3 of them in the top 10, probably without a doubt. 5 in the first round, if you count like Van Ness and, Smith's much different.
Might be more than 5.
Maybe more, probably is more than 5.
I mean, they typically go earlier too.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that's a really strong position.
Wide receiver number 4.
Ooh.
I don't know about that one.
I mean, like.
Again, there's no star.
There's no star. I mean, there's no Jamar Chase.
Yeah.
You know, Jalen Waddle's probably the first receiver off the board here. I mean, Smith and Njigba's really good.
Yeah.
But I don't see that because it depends how you weight it. Like, are a ton of receivers going to get drafted? Yes, as always.
Yeah.
Are there a lot of dudes that'll stick? Yes, as always. But compared to the last 5 receivers class, this is much weaker. Where is the offensive tackle class much weaker than the last 5 or whatever?
I would put offensive tackle, offensive line higher than
receiver.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, so we'll see where he has. Quarterback he has at 5.
I don't have a real problem with that. I mean, if you get 4, maybe 5 first-rounders, there isn't a middle class. You know, there's not the third-round Ritter this year. But you might get 3 or 4 starters out of this one, and that's pretty good for a
draft
class.
People are sleeping on Hendon Hooker.
That's what I mean. I think there's 4.5. Like, I think over-under is 4.5 in the first round.
Yeah. At 6 is interior defensive line.
Ooh, I'd be low on that.
Yeah. I mean, there's some guys deeper into the draft that are, you know, have a potential to mm-hmm. be good, but I just don't see the overall.
I mean, potency.
There's going to be maybe two in the first round.
Yeah. And if we count Mazi Smith, well, you will count Mazi Smith,
yeah.
But 3 or 4 in the top 50?
Yeah.
And 1 star?
Yeah.
I mean, per se might be a star, but.
Then he has interior offensive line at 7.
I think that's a good group. I mean, we don't talk about that much. I mean, but like Steve Avila and, you know, there's a lot of high quality dudes there, Tippmann. And, you know, there's a lot of guys there. I'd be higher on the interior line.
Then he has offensive tackle at 8.
Yeah, I think there's 7 or 8 starters and a couple projects there. That's a lot for a tackle class.
Yeah. There's not the stars that you see in some other drafts. But
I mean, whoever goes first here probably wouldn't go first.
Well, let's put it, so if
Pete, half the years.
If Peter Skoronski had arms were an inch and a half longer,
mm-hmm.
would people say, he's an automatic top 10 pick?
Yeah.
So what are we splitting hairs here?
I counted Skoronski as a guard. I can't remember if you
did
or not,
too.
Or a triple take.
Yeah.
Part of that was just because it made it easier and a better, more fun top 5 to talk about. Actually, I'm looking over your shoulder. This position would be way higher. Like 2nd, 3rd, or 4th.
Yeah, 9 is running back.
Yeah. I mean, if we're just talking about where they go, they're going to go late because they're not valued. But Bijan's as good as Jalen Carter.
If we're going to talk about how many of these guys are going to be starters or big contributors next
year. Right.
You know, you're talking 15 guys.
Yeah. I mean, if this is – like wins over replacement or versus the average. You know, what's a Joe average running back class in the last 10 years? This is way better than average.
This class is very close to the 2017 draft, where you saw 10 guys who came out of that were starters.
Yeah. I mean, Kamara late and yeah. Connor and a lot of those guys that are third rounders that go on to have really good careers and Pro Bowls and, you know, right.
Yeah, I think this class is very mm-hmm. similar to that one.
I mean, you're not going to get Fournette and McCaffrey in the top 10, but I'm not sure that Fournette would ever be a top 10 pick again if he came out now.
10 is safety.
It's pretty soft.
Yeah, it's pretty soft there.
Pretty soft.
11 is linebacker.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm not sure which one I dislike more.
Yeah. It's pretty close. I mean,
there's not a lot of fourth-round linebackers I'm excited about.
There really aren't. Yeah, there really aren't. So that leads us
then. There usually is.
Yeah, that leads us to the question then for the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
Do you prioritize some of those weaker positions because they are weak? And let's face it, safety and linebacker are needs.
Yeah. I don't want to overdraft guys, though, at those positions.
I'm not saying you overdraft them, but do you if you're weighing...
I mean, they've made three signings there already.
Yeah,
They've lost some. Well, KZ. I was counting KZ.
Yeah, but...
You're right. KZ and two linebackers.
Yeah. But, you played, and again, I talked to, different people about this. I mean, they like that three safety package.
Yeah,
I don't think it's going away.
No, I think
you don't have three right now that can play.
I agree.
It's a need.
It's not one of their. It's one of their top five needs right now. Is the safety to me. I mean,
so to me, okay. So if apples to apples, and you're looking at this, you're going, okay, we have the same grade or similar grades to this cornerback with this safety. Do you take the safety because that's a bigger need? Not the cornerback isn't a need. Maybe that's a bad offensive tackle.
Right.
Let's say offensive tackle. Do you then rate the safety higher? Or do you say, well, they're similar, they have the same grade, but we're going to take the safety because that's a bigger need, and this draft class isn't very good or isn't deep there. We're not going to be able to get that guy in the third round, a comparable player.
I guess if it gets to draft day and that's where you're at. But I look at it in a different light that I don't want to go walking down the safety and linebacker aisle if they're 10 and 11 on this list. I want to go down.
But there's still guys at those positions.
Sure.
They're just fewer of them.
There's fewer. I mean, the supply is less.
Yeah.
I'm just more apt to sign one more free agent before the draft so I don't have to compete with teams for those guys and overdraft them. I mean, that's more the Steeler way. But I guess if it's the 47th pick, and Simpson's there or Musgrave's there.
You take Simpson. Yeah.
Even though Williamson has a higher grade on Musgrave, but they're not far off, you take Simpson.
Yeah.
So I guess we're kind of talking about the same thing. And I think they've done a decent job of it, and one more signing would go a long way to try to stay out of the shopping spree at safety and linebacker. And they're not the most – people don't overdraft those positions.
Yeah,
I mean – it's not the end of the world, but
I'm just saying if you're sitting there at 17 and you're looking at taking Brian Branch or you're looking at taking Deontay Banks, similar positions, but one's a safety.
Right.
That can also play slot corner for you while the other one's an outside cornerback. Well, I know later in this draft I'm going to be able to get an outside corner in at 32 or 49 or somewhere else in the draft that I'm going to like. But I'm not going to be able to get a safety that I like, somebody who's going to be able to play in the slot for me and also, perhaps play,
but, But the cap and analytic guys will fight you and say, always take the corner because they're $15 million on the market as opposed to $5 million. If I get stuck there, if I miss on this player and I have to replace him.
That sounds all well and good, but you got to win this year.
Mm-hmm.
You're in it to win a Super Bowl this year.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have a strong answer, to be honest with you. I mean,
and we don't know what the grades are going to be on overall grades on these guys.
Right.
But, I mean, if you look at Lance Earline's grades on those guys, he has Branch rated as the higher player.
Then who again?
Banks.
Then Banks.
Yeah. In fact, his if you look on NFL.com.
I think Branch is the best
Branch as his listed among the defensive backs as his second best defensive back.
What if it's Branch versus Porter?
I still like Branch better, but
I see both sides.
Yeah,
and Porter's not a flawless prospect to me,
right.
At all. Just because we want to root for him, and he's big and good looking. I mean, he's a work in progress in zone and playing, you know, backwards and all those things. But what he does is rarer. But Branch helps me more win today.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to do a lot of things for you. Mm-hmm. It's that line that teams have to walk, and it's never, you know, it's never cut and dry.
And we've talked about this a million times when 17 rolls around and we do a mock. Well, if we don't take Brian Brisset here, we might have to punt at D-tackle this year.
You know? Yeah.
And unfortunately, you have to punt at a position or two. And by that, I don't mean, oh, you're terrible.
Totally ignore it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you trot out Roberts and, you know, and you live with them and you hope Robinson develops and you take a shot on another free agent that whose name we don't have on the tip of our tongue that gets cut or a fifth round pick that you hope that develops. And you go into the season thinking a year from now, I'm probably going to have to draft one higher than I planned. You know, it's just the way it works, you know. I don't know. I just don't like shopping down Lee Niles if I can help it.
Yeah. Well, I hear you. But again, if that's where the player's rated, all things being equal, if you have this a similar or close grade and it's a position in need, you're going to go position in need. Everybody talks about taking the best player available.
Yeah.
The best player available could be Bijan Robinson. Steelers aren't taking
him. They're not taking him, right.
You know?
Or Will Levis. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're not taking him.
So I probably haven't explained this to people in a long time, but whenever you a draft board, when the draft is going on, you're sitting in the war room. It's quarterback, and you rank them all the way down, 1 to 20 or whatever. You know, anyone you think is draftable is on the front board. And you do that at every position. Okay, everyone understands that. But then really interesting conversations start is if we're in the third round and we have a tackle in a corner, who do we like better of this quarterback and this tight end?
Yeah.
The horizontal board is maybe more – at least as important as your vertical board.
And a lot of that stuff is going to be decided. People need to understand you don't decide that while you're on the clock.
No.
Been decided days before.
Right. It's not just a spreadsheet that goes down, one after another. You might see two tight ends and then gap, tight end number three is way down here, and he's equivalent with running back number 10.
Yeah.
You know, and that when you picture it that way, you really see where the gaps are at, and you're like, if I don't get one of those two, I'm waiting, and then I'm going to be noticeably less there.
Yeah, see, I'm looking at Lance's rankings here, at his prospect rankings. He has Christian Gonzalez number one, 6.70 grade on him. Thinks he's going to be a star.
Yeah.
Brian Branch is at 6.49.
So he's ranking Branch with the corners.
Yeah, because that's where he worked out at the combine.
Yeah.
Devin Witherspoon, 6.43. Joey Porter, 6.42. He actually has DJ Turner at 6.41.
We never talk about him, but he's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I would consider him a 32, too.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying here. So if you're splitting these hairs here, and you go, well, we you're pigeonholing yourself in. Got to take a corner back here. Well, you're not going to pass on Branch if that's the grade. If your
Steelers' grades are
exactly the same.
That.
Yeah.
Right.
You're going to take the safety, regardless.
Yes.
Regardless of you know, position, this position is weak. Well, that may factor into it as well, though, because if you start looking at the safeties, you know, there's just the guys don't have that high. You know, Branch at 6.49,
a little bit of my
easily
hiccup.
Number one.
Yeah. I mean, a little bit of my hiccup with the conversation is Branch is a unique because he's with the corners too.
Yeah.
You know, it's not Kyle Hamilton or you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Or
but he's
Terrell Edmonds coming out. You know, like you know he's not. Corner.
But if I look here at his safety rankings, Antonio Johnson is his number one at 6.34, well behind all of those corners.
And Branch was way ahead of that, right?
He was 6.49. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Right. No, so I hear what you're saying. I don't know.
And there's only 8 safeties, not counting Branch, who have a grade of 6 or better. Mm-hmm. Anything below 6 on Lance's rankings is a guy who's going to be a career backup.
So to give Lance credit, his rankings are smarter than a lot of draft analysts because he doesn't say this is a third-round player.
Yeah.
Because one year he's a fourth-round player, one year he's a second-round player.
Depends on the draft, yeah.
Every one of his draft, and he doesn't rank them 1 to 10 or 1 to 100, all those numbers are how – it's the Belichick system. You know, I'm almost certain that a 6-7 means he's a starter with one flaw. They all have distinct – you put them in buckets. You know, that this guy has two flaws, but he has extreme athleticism, so he's a 6-4. And then you put him in buckets – and therefore, your vertical board gets built by itself.
Yeah. For example, his top guys, Jalen Carter is a 7.05.
Mm-hmm.
Will Anderson's a 7.02. They're the only two players in this draft to have a grade of 7 or better. 7 is like all-pro level.
I bet 7 future means we think he's going to be a top 5 player at his position.
Anything like 6'5 and above is considered a
starter.
He's going to be a Pro Bowl type starter.
Yeah. Upper-tier starter.
Yeah.
You know? So, again, when you do it that way, a 6'4 at running back is the same as a 6'4 at safety.
Right,
you know,
correct.
They're all the way across the board, and it builds your vertical to you. And then you start to have conversations. Like, I remember Phil Savage, he was our GM at the time, and I just sat in the back and listened. You get all the position coaches out of it, and you get the impartial people, you know, the coordinators, the GMs, and say, okay, we have a 6'4 on this running back, we have a need there, and we have a 6'4 in the safety. It's decision time. Let's do that now, not on the clock.
And that's when issues such as character or other things.
And he's got this big red check mark by him. It's like, we'll take the other cleaner guy.
Yeah,
you know, right.
Or this guy had an injury or you know, whatever it may be. That's where you start looking at those things.
And then you talk through it over the course of a week or whatever, and you're like, boy, we never end up with a tight end.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then we should call Irv Smith Jr. You know what I mean? Right. You know, so that's how it works out. You start to feel your board, and like, these are my gaps. This is where I don't feel comfortable drafting a guy at that position, and I'm going to almost always lean D-tackle instead or whatever in the fourth round.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it gets grayer and grayer as you move along, but that's the importance of it. So that makes sense.
Absolutely. I just thought that would be an interesting conversation.
Mm-hmm. Here. No, it is.
Yeah. We're going to take a break. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We are live at the NFL owner meetings here in Phoenix. And, of course, you can also watch us on the Steelers YouTube channel. So go ahead and do that as well.
Absolutely.
And, yeah. We won't be doing tomorrow's show
channel.
Just these two. So enjoy them while you have them. So you can subscribe now to our show. Every episode we do is available for you to download. Subscribe today through the Steelers mobile app, the iHeartRadio app, and wherever you find your podcasts. We'll be back with more right after this. Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson, and this is The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio. And Matt, Bengals made couple of signings yesterday. Irv Smith. I think they also made the. Let me look it up. There was somebody else that they signed, but they've been a little active here.
I think their head coach said something along the lines of too that Jonah Williams is going to compete for the right tackle
he
job.
Did. Yes.
You know, which doesn't mean they're not entertaining offers, but it sounds like they're going forward like he's part of the team, which I think makes sense for them. You know, I mean, they're trying to win it, and he's a quality player or a guard or a right tackle. He's not a great one, but that makes some sense. I like the Irv Smith signing. Health is the big problem with him.
Yeah.
He's still very young. He's a much better blocker than people realize for not a 260-pound tight end. He's like a 245 guy that runs well. It kind of felt for him because every time he starts to flash, he gets hurt or, you know, has a setback. But I think that's a good pickup for them.
They also signed cornerback Sidney Jones.
Okay. He's another guy that's had a lot of checkered injury history.
A lot of injury stuff, but was considered highly
– would have been drafted
graded.
Real high when he came out. And he's had a pretty decent career. I mean, he's been able to overcome that. And outside corner, I think he can play inside as well. And they've had some success grabbing corners off other teams, you know, Eli Apple and guys like that too.
Yeah,
corner's a bit of a need for them.
Yeah, that's been one that they've been one of those teams that just kind of continually cycled through cornerbacks.
They drafted three defensive backs high last year too, including Dax Hill. So, you know, they lose both their safeties. Awuzie got hurt for them last year. I assume he'll be back and be back to who he is. So they're in pretty good shape defensively.
Yeah.
I mean, their roster in general is pretty strong right now.
It's pretty strong. But, again, they're going to be in a situation now. Do you think Joe Burrow is sitting there watching everything that's going on here with Lamar?
Sure.
With those other quarterbacks and going, okay, I want $1 more than those guys.
Maybe
a lot more than $1 more. I've done more than those guys.
I mean, I would rather give money to Burrow than Lamar or Watson, you know, right now. If I had to invest, you know, all my cash, who would you give it to? You give it to Burrow. You know, Herbert and Hurts are going to be in that conversation too. I mean, it's just it's going to be sticky for Cincinnati coming up, but they're in real good shape right now.
Yeah, they've re-signed Trent Taylor as well. Irv Smith. They signed Orlando Brown. Cody Ford is a guard. Max Sharping, another guard. Jermaine Pratt, they re-signed. Sidney Jones, the cornerback, and then safety Nick Scott.
That's three offensive linemen they added. I didn't realize there was three.
Yeah.
And Scott's not terrible. I mean, he's not a household name, but he's more of a free, and he's had a nice little career so far.
Yeah. The Browns have signed Josh Dobbs. They traded for wide receiver Elijah Moore. Mm-hmm. They added the tight end Jordan Akins because you need more tight ends there, apparently. center Ethan Posick resigned with them. Ugbo Okonkwo.
Edge guy.
The edge guy.
He's a good pickup.
Yeah. Tristan Hill. They signed defensive lineman Maurice Hurst. They signed Dalvin Tomlinson, the defensive tackle.
And that's three defensive tackles that have played snaps.
Three linebackers, Matthew Adams, Sione Takitaki, who's one of their guys, Anthony Walker, another one of their guys, cornerback Mike Ford, and safety one Thornhill.
Yeah. And that's a lot more active than I expected them to be. I mean, well, they restructured
Watson's contract. So they really kicked the can.
He's like $60 million cap.
63.
63?
Yeah. The next 2 years after this, 3 years after this.
I mean, obviously the future of their organization is based on him.
Yeah.
But they were able to do more with their roster than I had expected this year.
Of course, we know the Steelers signings.
You're right, right.
And the Ravens, as we talked about when we had Jeff Schriebeck on, they put this non-exclusive tag on Lamar Jackson, re-signed Justice Hill to a one-year $2.25 million deal.
I think he's their number one returner.
Yeah.
But do they have that luxury right now?
Right. Is that really where that money was best spent?
Right.
Nelson Aguilar, they signed to a one-year $3.25 million deal. They signed cornerback Trayvon Mullen, and they signed re-signed safety Geno Stone.
And I think they moved, Jeff mentioned they moved Gus Edwards' money around a little bit too. Just a quick note I wanted to bring up to him, but I had 100 questions for him, and we just kind of ran out of it.
We never have any Ravens guys on.
Right,
I'm glad that Jeff was able to do
something
that.
Something different for us.
Yeah.
But one encouraging thing I saw from them is the last month or so, J.K. Dobbins looked like that guy that we loved coming out of the draft. I mean, he's struggled with injuries. He could be a bigger factor for them.
Asked for a trade.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, you didn't see that?
No.
Like, he wants out.
Wow. I mean, that's tough.
He said, if you're not going to use me, I want to be – he wants to be a guy who gets the ball, 250 times. And
I did know
he was unhappy about his usage
at
the end of last year.
The fact that they don't throw to him, I think, is nuts. But I'm sure Monken changes that to some degree.
Yeah.
I don't mind having Dobbins on my fantasy team this year. Like, I think he could be pretty productive and looks like his old self.
So if you were weighting the division right now, how would you break it down?
Ravens are 4.
Okay.
What about if they have Lamar? Are they 4? Since he's 1.
Okay.
Steelers-Browns is a coin flip for me, but I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to the Steelers.
Well, since the Browns haven't finished above the Steelers in the standings since 1989, that's a pretty – 1989, folks.
89, right. I'd say there's a little bit of history there.
The hidden figures tells you at some point happen, but it has – I mean – I've covered the league now for 31 years. I've never seen the Browns finish ahead of the Steelers.
Right.
Think about that.
Right, right, right.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and on paper, if you have no interest in the game or you don't care one way or another, you might be like, Browns have the better team. Okay, I could see that if I'm looking at rosters. I don't personally feel that way, but I'm going to pick the Steelers to finish over the Browns.
Yeah.
You've been doing this a long time, and you've never seen it happen.
It's crazy.
I mean, that's pretty bonkers. I think the Ravens are last.
Yeah.
They have so many resources right now.
Yeah, I mean, they're in a tough spot, and they're only going to add 5 draft picks to this.
That's what I mean, right? I mean, they haven't added anything. There's not a lot of guys to go get. If they were to get something nice for Lamar, it's probably draft pick compensation this year, which is or the future, so I don't think they'll be down long.
But the stability of the organization would tell you that you would put the Ravens ahead of the Browns.
Not without
in terms, in terms of trust of the organization.
I mean, the Ravens are right there with the Steelers in terms of trust. Yeah. I mean, like Jeff
said. I don't trust the Bengals to get this right in the long term.
Deep down, I don't either, but I trust Joe Burrow.
Yeah, that's the wild card.
What I don't trust with the Bengals is what happens next. How do we spend our money on our own? How do we pick late every year? That's a hard road that they've not been down.
They've not had to do a whole lot of, for sure. But, yeah, interesting. We're going to take
a good division,
break.
Though.
It is a good division.
I don't think any of them are crap.
I think it's being undersold. I think when people start talking about the top, that's a great division. forgetting the Bengals are one of your top five teams.
Oh, they're a Super Bowl contender.
If you look at the Ravens, Steelers, and Browns, they're all in the top 20.
Yeah, they're not easy outs. You know, playing against the Ravens, the Steelers, no matter what's going to be hard.
Yeah, you're not going to like it.
Right.
So, you can now listen to Steelers Nation Radio anytime, anywhere through your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play Steelers Nation Radio from iHeart, and Alexa will take care of the rest. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. We are live here at the owners' meetings here in Phoenix, Arizona, at the Arizona Biltmore. We'll be back with more on the show right after this.